Blog Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Guy-Geesh with the Pedowitz Group, and welcome to WRMR, Revenue Marketer Radio. And as you guys know, every Thursday at 2 o'clock, we meet to talk to a real revenue marketer and learn tips and tricks on how to make that transition from traditional marketing way on over to the revenue marketing side. And before we get started, I wanted to reintroduce the term revenue marketer and again give you guys a little bit of background for what that term means, because it's going to be an especially important definition given our guest today and also given the topic. Now, the way we define revenue marketer is it's a specific type of marketer who has revenue or revenue-related accountability through the kinds of campaigns, communications, and digital interactions that they set up. These marketers are responsible for the top of the sales funnel and for interacting with and nurturing leads until they are sales ready. And they all use some type of marketing automation platform integrated with CRM to power their revenue marketing practice and also to get those revenue results. And as usual, whenever we have a guest on, we explore topics such as metrics, people skills and compensation, what the organizational structure might look like, what are the key processes, how to get sales and marketing alignment, what do you do with content and creative in a revenue marketing practice, demand generation strategies and tactics, and also technology, because, again, technology is the driver for everything that we do. So I am so thrilled, truly, to introduce a really, really good friend of mine, Dave Winicky. Dave is the Director of Digital Marketing at Sokolov Law. And, Dave, you and I have known each other how long? Four or five years now?
I bet it's been 4 or 5 years since we met back in my Thomson Reuters days talking about demand generation.
Absolutely, and along the way, Dave is also he speaks nationally on all kinds of topics around digital marketing, specifically at usefularts.us. He's going to be keynoting at a conference coming up in the UK later this spring, and very exciting, if anyone listening is going to OMS, he is actually going to be doing a whole session at OMS in San Diego on February the 8th around this notion of, I call it the pageless web, and Dave called it Web 3.0. But, Dave, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you again.
Debbie, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you and be talking about revenue marketing.
So let's start with a real simple question, and then I want to kind of get into this notion of you call Web 3.0. So let's kind of tell our listeners a little bit around your revenue marketing journey and kind of how it started and kind of where you are today, and then we'll kind of fast forward into the right now and the future around Web 3.0.
Sure. Well, my background was originally in magazine publishing, which is all about squeezing revenue out of lists through advertising, through events, through list sales. And at the Christian Science Monitor, I made that switch into digital strategy. And in that case, we monetized lists by building relationships and advertising. But in my next role, I encountered you and the whole demand generation matrix doing B2B marketing at Thomson Reuters, where we marketed to the world's trademark and patent lawyers. And in that space, it was very much a retention-based relationship, typical B2B business, where in some cases we had accounts that were 100 years old. So we had account relationships longer than a human lifespan.
That's unbelievable. I had no idea.
And that's the opposite of where I work today as director of digital, which is Sokolov Law. Sokolov is the largest consumer marketing legal company in the U.S. You may have seen our television advertising. We have a 50-person marketing operation, probably near 20 of which are on the digital side. And we're intensely focused on really single interaction, consumer looking for a lawyer and in one visit making that conversion from someone who's shopping to someone who's engaged in a conversation.
And Dave, I believe you were hired at Sokolov just to come in and build out this digital capability for them. Is that right?
It's a company that's a 30-year-old company, but it feels like a startup every day. And, yeah, we've taken that from a team of two to a team of about 20. And what's been great is in the process, we've seen our cost for acquisition go down and down and down as we've taken more of those skill sets into house and integrated them together with all of the good TV and print advertising that had been going on.
So I know that when you and I talked right after you had gone to work at Sokolov, and again, you know, they do a lot of great marketing, but it really was kind of more on the traditional side. And as you said, you know, you really want to be able to drive down that cost of acquisition, and you really want to focus on that single interaction. Now, I believe that you guys are using Marketo as a basic marketing automation system, and so that's a core part of your strategy. What other technologies do you use in your digital marketing activities?
Sure. Well, first of all, we focused in on the 140 websites that the firm had and have over the last year worked on bringing them onto one content management platform, which is Sitecore. And we're actually working between Sitecore and Marketo to have lead forms being sucked into each page through widgets and iframes. So we have really stylized Marketo forms that are living inside of the Sitecore content management system. And when an author wants to make a page, they can just pick a widget and say, which one of the Marketo forms do I want to deploy? And they can deploy it for any particular product on any particular page. So we've got two applications, but we've got them dancing pretty well together.
And again, what a brilliant strategy. And this is, it sounds like a very sophisticated presentation, because you have to have that kind of presentation to create a great digital interaction. And yet it sounds like you've been able to put in place a process between Marketo and Sitecore that allows your authors who need to author the landing pages and the forms to make it relatively straightforward for them. Is that right?
Well, it is. It's simple. But it also, because it's simple, allows us to do some things at scale that are necessary. This team is competing on what may be the most expensive keyword in the world. It's a rare form of cancer called mesothelioma. You've probably heard TV ads about this. But purchasing just one click in AdWords is limited to $100 on Google. The market would pay more, but Google limits it to 100 because the amount of fraud, of click fraud, would just be incredible beyond that. So that's why we have, you know, hundreds of websites that are SEO-focused, that are PPC-focused, because the competition in some of these smaller niche segments that we're in is just incredibly focused in having 100 more pages, or having pages that load faster even, provides an SEO advantage that really is part of that getting cost per lead on a downward track.
That's awesome. So really, you guys have been able to bring together your search capability, your pay-per-click capability, Marketo, Sitecore, the ability to really make that cost of acquisition as streamlined as possible. And how long have you been working on that combination of things? Kind of like, what did it take to kind of pull all that together, Dave?
Well, one of the things we found along the way is it's not the time it takes to do something so much as the time it takes to plan it, because there's making the investment case for making the organizational change. There's bringing on the managers that are necessary to implement the change that's going to happen. And we've probably spent 40% of our project time planning the project before any code was written, before, in fact, any platforms were even purchased. So this has been probably now, it will end up being a 14-month project, but of that 14-month, probably 40% of it has been us getting the strategic alignment that we need to pull the trigger, and then trying to bring in all of our deadlines fast enough that we get this accomplished before any of the business needs start to shift.
I think you're a very brave man, Dave. That's really an enormous amount of projects to take on. I mean, going to a new CMS, implementing a marketing automation system like Marketo, you know, bringing on the right kind of people. I can see where spending 40% of the budget time really on planning the project, I can begin to see why that was so important for you guys.
It's made us sane, and, you know, I think what we've seen is all of the biggest challenges to this project haven't been technical challenges to overcome. We found really smart partners who can help us with that. It's been just the people challenges of understanding what we need to do clearly enough that when it's time to write the code, there's no confusion and there's no kind of misset expectations between what one side of the company is hoping for and what the people who are building it are getting ready to deliver.
And, you know, clearly, Dave, you've done this a time or two, and you've been in and have experienced demand generation yourself firsthand in other companies. I think that if you had not had that experience, this project would be in a very different place right now. And I know we have a lot of listeners that are doing this for the first time. And so if you were doing this as a first time, first cut, taking a look at demand generation, how do you think the project would be going, or do you think you would even have had a project?
One of the advantages I had was having walked the path before. And I remember the first time when we implemented a lead management system and we were able to start getting the minute-by-minute intelligence of who's on our website, which customers who won't call us back are actually shopping. It must have been like when the physician saw, you know, bones and blood inside the body for the first time. And
that is an amazing thing. It's been so long since I saw that, but the thrill of seeing that online behavior is, there's nothing quite like it. It opens up a hole in the world for you, doesn't it?
Well, that really helps us put that matrix forward of what do you need to be to have table stakes. And in this case, we're a lead generation powerhouse. We don't have lawyers that are going to court. We have specialized partners who specialize in winning cases for our clients. And what we are is we allow lawyers to go do what they do best, and as their partners, we're able to develop cases. And that meant having a lead generation system that allowed us to figure out among the 300,000, 400,000 leads we work on a year, which are the ones that are going to be extremely actionable, and how can we get someone on a phone with any lead within the first 5 or 10 minutes?
And there is a magic time to getting those people on the phone.
Well, and again, you know, what we one of the things you think about in planning is, we don't optimize to getting a volume of leads. We optimize for getting cases that close and win. And everything we can do to focus our resources on signing cases that will win, you know, helps us. It helps our partners, and it also helps the hundreds of thousands of people who contact us for help.
Absolutely. So, I don't know why I just got a one-minute warning for being live. So let me go check something here. Just want to make sure. And I think that my showtime got set up incorrectly. And so what's going to happen, Dave, is we're going to get disconnected, and then I will call you, and we can dial back in to finish our interview, because this got set up incorrectly somehow, but we'll take care of that. So let's hang up, and then we're just going to dial back in. Okay,
all right.
Cool. See you in a few minutes.